Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
All right. So if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I always like to do that because when I was a kid, it made so much sense for me to check in with myself to see that I was happy. It was such a good song to say at school, but now that I'm an adult, I definitely have to do it because sometimes we can get beside ourselves in this world we live in and not be as happy as we think we are. So today, my topic is my top five gifts to give for the holidays. And the reason I chose that topic is because as a spiritual life coach, I have the pleasure of working with people who are having such difficult time at this time of the year. This can be, how many of you know this can be a really stressful time of the year? So whether you are planning on being stressed or not, sometimes it sneaks up on you because the holidays are supposed to be this exciting time of connectivity with our families and all of that. And because, like Lee said, it's the season for giving, but I think we get caught up and think that all of the giving that we give has to be material because, after all, Madonna said we live in a material world, right? And the song sounds good and it makes sense to me. And diamonds are really a girl's best friend. But at the end of the day, there are other things that you can give during the holidays to make it a good time of the year for yourself. Well, the gifts I'm going to talk to you about today, the good news is that one size fits all. Have you ever seen that on something? One size fits all. And you're like, this can't be true. And so with these gifts, one size truly does fit all. These are always the perfect color, no matter what somebody, if they're cool or if they're warm colors, doesn't matter what their color scheme is, it's always in style, always in fashion. So these gifts are perfect for giving because they won't stress you out because you don't have to worry about somebody re-gifting it. How many of you have ever done that? I won't tell if you won't tell. The key to regifting is to make sure you put on it who gave it to you so you don't give it to the same person who gave it to you last year. I learned that the hard way, but I was like, I thought since I had one, you wanted one. I mean, you know what I mean? I was giving back the person the same gift that they gave me. Anyway, so the first gift that I'd like to talk to you about is a gift, and I brought this bag, and all our gifts are in here today, our top five gifts. So the first gift that I recommend you give is the gift of unconditional love. You know, we talk a lot about love in the world, but people don't always talk about unconditional love. It's really easy to love somebody when they do what we want them to do, when we want them to do it, the way we want them to do it with the right attitude, right? But it's an entirely different story when that's not the case. And we all know that at some point somebody's going to mess up, right? And particularly the people that we're giving to during the holidays is our family members and those who are closest to us. And those typically are the people that really get on your nerves, right? Because you already know how they are. You already know how they act. You already know how they show up, so we have a tendency to think ahead of how they're going to react to something, and so sometimes they can be the hardest people to show unconditional love. But unconditional love is that thing where you don't need them to do or be anything because you need them to do or be that thing. You just love them just because. Can you think of somebody in your family that may have been the person that demonstrated unconditional love to you, or maybe they weren't even in your family. I don't know. It could have been a friend. But for me, that person was my dear, sweet Grandma Sarah. My Grandma Sarah was, she thought I was the apple of her eye. So that was my first experience at understanding what it feels like to be loved just because. Every time I saw her, which was every weekend growing up, she always looked at me as if she was seeing me for the first time. And no matter what I did, she just loved me. When I made a mistake, she would always say to me, "It's okay, baby doll. Everything's going to be all right. It's okay." And when I think about that, as an adult, there aren't a lot of people who just love us anyway. There aren't a lot of people that allow us to make mistakes and to be okay with making those mistakes. You know, I really think about her a lot because when I want to know what that feels like, because that's the same way Spirit loves us. It's the same way that God loves us, but it's not an easy thing to do for other people, right? Because we love people when it's convenient. A lot of times we love people when it works for us. We love people when they do what we want them to do, but it's not always easy to love somebody when they're not showing up in the way that we would like them to. How many of you can think of a person right now in your family? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's someone you see on a regular basis, maybe it's a neighbor, I don't know, who there's something that they do that annoys you to no end. Well, today I want you to consider giving them that precious gift of unconditional love. Just love them, because your ability to be able to love them, well, you'll be surprised that they will show up more lovingly to you when they're feeling love from you. So that law of attraction that Lee mentioned is always at play. So how you see somebody else actually helps them to have the ability to see themselves in the same way. Would you agree that we're all worthy of love? We really are. But more important than that, we're all worthy of unconditional love. And that's that love that no matter what I'm wearing, no matter how I show up, no matter what I said to you, whenever I said it to you, it doesn't matter. You're just giving that love anyway. So an affirmation I'd like you to repeat after me is, I give out love and joy, and find it wherever I go. I give out love and joy, and find it wherever I go. And when you take on that disposition, that actually becomes your reality. So what else do we have in this beautiful big bag from Santa? I guess it's from Santa. I'm not sure who sent this. This next one. This next gift to give is a really, really, really great gift to give. And there's not a person in this room who could not benefit from receiving this gift. And there's not a person that we know that could not benefit from getting this gift. And that gift is the gift of forgiveness. Right? Forgiveness is one of those things. It's so easy to say to do it, but it's an entirely different thing to actually practice forgiveness. Would you agree? Forgiveness is one of those things, because when we think about the people who did that thing to us or didn't do that thing to us or did something for us or didn't do something for us, we can really get caught up in our emotions. Forgiveness is a tricky one, because I work with a lot of people. I do workshops, Heal Your Life workshops. I studied with Louise Hay about 4 or 5 years ago, and we go through this for like 2 days. We go through this thing with forgiveness. Forgiveness is that deep. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but think about somebody that you think wronged you, somebody that said something you didn't like. You were probably in the third grade. It was probably 19, whenever. It wasn't even during this time of period, right? It was a long, long, long time ago, but you remember it like it was yesterday. And there's a song that Dionne Warwick sings, and it says, "A fool will lose tomorrow looking back on yesterday." And it's so very true. Forgiveness is that thing where you just feel like, well, if I forgive this person, what I'm really saying is it was okay for them to do to me what they did to me. And that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is actually a gift you give yourself. Forgiveness gives you an opportunity to love, to operate in love. So it's not even for the other person, because 9 times out of 10, they don't even remember that they did that to you. They just did whatever and they kept going. And actually, they probably didn't do it to you. You probably were just a recipient of something. They probably just, that's maybe how they function. A great person who has taught me the lesson of forgiveness is my dad. You see, my dad was in my life until I was about 8 years old. And then he got married. I won't call her a wicked stepmother, but that's how I thought of her when I was a kid. But anyway, it's not Halloween. I'm not going to talk about witches. But at the end of the day, she was very instrumental in having my dad not be a part of my life. So 32 years went by. Isn't that a long time? I know you all thought I was only 32, but I'm not. So 32 years went by, and my dad had a massive heart attack. He had 100% blockage, and I got a call from a hospital saying that he wasn't going to live through the night. And I thought, wow, it's been 32 years. What do you say to this person? I don't really know him. What do you do with that, right? So, and since we don't believe in hell here, I was like, I could not go, and I still won't go to hell because we don't believe in hell. So I would get off scot-free, right? But I thought, maybe I'll go see the man. So I haven't seen him in so long, I wonder what he looks like. My kids were 16 at the time. They had never met him. So we go to the hospital. Used to be Crawford Long, now it's Emory. And we're standing next to his gurney. And he has all these tubes, and his body is swollen with fluid. And I didn't know what to say. I was at a loss. I don't know him, right? But thankfully, over the years, I have been taking all these forgiveness classes, radical forgiveness, and every kind of forgiveness, I was signing up for it, right? Because I had heard that forgiveness was for me and that it was a very important thing for me to have. Well, holy smokes, it kicked in that day. So I'm standing at his gurney. I have my daughter Chelsea on one side, my daughter Chayla on the other. And I just looked at him and I said, you are forgiven. But before I said that, the nurse that was in there, she said, you know, he can't hear you. He's kind of already gone, you know, whatever. But when I said that, he actually lifted his hands and put his thumbs up. And I will tell you this, that was 9 years ago. So my dad is still living. He's alive and well. And that's what forgiveness can do. It's a powerful, powerful thing. But more than that, what it did for me over the years was I learned that there was no need in me being unforgiving. And you know something he said to one of my daughters when she said to him, my daughter Chelsea is very humorous. She can make anything humorous. And she said, where have you been all our lives? I mean, we're 16. Like, where have you been? And he said, you know, it's a long story, but he told my daughter that the best day of his life was the day I was born. Who would have known that? Because I hadn't talked to him. He had never sent me a birthday card. I hadn't heard from him. And I realized that he told my daughter that I was perfect just like I was, and he didn't think I needed him. So just imagine that I'm walking around with this unforgiveness for so long, and his body was reacting to feeling like I might not be forgiving of him. But look at what it did. It healed his heart. And that is the power of forgiveness. I will tell you this, and this is what I told 3 clients this week, because forgiveness seems to be the theme at this time of the year. Consider that your life is just a play. You're in a play. And you're the star of the play, right? You wrote the script, and you put in the villains. Everybody who's a part of it, you set it up that way. And guess what? At the end of it, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is, you know how you go to a play, and when it's over, everybody runs out and they take a vow? That's what's going to happen at the end of this whole journey called life. That you're going to realize that I came here for my own experience. And what has happened is I've had these people in place that have set the stage for me to show up in the way that I've shown up. Because from me not having my dad in my life, it has made me a wonderful person. Like, I am a tremendously wonderful, reliable, loving, beautiful, giving. I mean, how long you got? Because I could tell you a lot of really good things about me, really. And thankfully to my dad, I got a lot of gifts out of it, right? And I just know at the end of the life story, we're going to all run out and go, that was great, that was great, you know? We might win an Academy. So forgiveness is just one of those things, and it opens the doorway to love. And you, let me tell you a secret. You don't have to love the person. You don't have to be all in their faces and communicating with them to forgive them. You just forgive them and keep it moving, right? But it's for you. And I'm so thankful that I've had that gift in my life. But think of somebody in your family, someone you know. Could be an ex-husband, ex-wife, somebody like that. I don't know who it is. But think about who they are and offer them the gift of forgiveness. And if you are the person that needs to receive forgiveness, how about you just go ahead and give the gift to yourself? Because it's so worth it for you to let it go and leave it alone. The next gift is compassion. And I always think about the Dalai Lama when it comes to compassion, right? Because every time you hear him, I've heard him live a couple of times, he's always talking about compassion. And I think compassion is very necessary in this world. I think that we have now become a society that is very self-oriented, right? I mean, obviously we take selfies. Everything's about self. But at the end of the day, we live in a world where there are lots of other people. And we need each other. I mean, we get the opportunity to see God in others. And a lot of times, relationships are in our lives for us to see who and how we are. You get to see how you show up when you're in front of somebody else. But compassion is something that does so much for your soul when you are able to express compassion to another. And again, you have the opportunity when someone isn't like you want them to be to express compassion to that person does so much for you. I was on Facebook yesterday, and the first post that I saw was of a gentleman who I went to high school with. And after high school, he became really famous and, you know, had very successful business. And he made a post about how he had a day where he went and did all these things, but he didn't have any rest inside of himself. So he went to bed about 11:30, but he tossed and he turned and he couldn't sleep. So at about 2:30 a.m., he decided to get out of bed and to take a jog. He lives in Buckhead, and he was running down the street, and he saw, because the image on Facebook was of a homeless person that was lying on a bench, and they had all these blankets on them. And he said, now before he took his run, he said a prayer. He said a prayer to God about where he was in his life, and the last thing he said in his prayer was he wanted to be a blessing to someone. So he posted that he took his last $40, and he stuck it under the blanket of the homeless guy, and he continued to run. And that said a lot to me about him as a person of compassion. That's compassion. You know, where you take yourself out of the equation. I mean, your last 40 bucks, he could have given him 20 and kept 20 for himself. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking. But anyway, he gave it the $40 because he knows, and he said, and then I was grateful because what I learned is that I prayed to be a blessing to someone, and look how quickly he was able to be a blessing. I mean, that spoke volumes to me. And, you know, that's not something I saw on Ellen or whatever. This is someone I know. Like, I knew him all through high school, and I know what kind of person that I thought he was. And I thought, wow, this person has really made a lot of changes in his life. So compassion. Think about somebody in your family, probably somebody you just try to stay the furthest away from. If you go to dinner, you want to be in a different room than this person. Compassion. How about showing a bit of compassion for the person? You know, how we see other people is not always how they see themselves. So sometimes we say, this person is such a know-it-all. But what you may not know is this person struggles with feeling like fitting in. You never know how they see themselves. So I would encourage you to think of someone who you could express compassion to. Just because you have empathy and warmth and love in your heart, and also because we are all expressions of the divine at the end of the day. So who are we to be withholding love from other people? When you're able to really love somebody, it feels good to you. And the law set it up that way, that you cannot give something to somebody without actually feeling it yourself. So I encourage you to practice compassion. It's a really good idea. The fourth gift is golden, and it is patience. How about patience is one of those things that if the holiday season doesn't teach you anything, it teaches you to be patient. If you go to, I went to the grocery store the other day, and the parking lot was crazy, and the lines were long, and the people were like, you know, running me down because Thanksgiving was the next day. I mean, I thought people were in the mindset of being thankful, but they're just like, I came in here to get what I came in here to get, and you need to get out of my way. And I thought, patience. What a wonderful, wonderful gift to give to someone. So what I did in the line I was in, I said, hey, you look like you're in a hurry. Why don't you get in front of me? You know? I mean, we're all going to get out of there at the same time, and wherever you're going is going to be there when you get there at the end of the day. So it didn't bother me to let the person go first, even though I only had 3 items and they had 45, but it's okay. I thought, you know, it gives me an opportunity to just be here and be where I am. We live in a world of Instagram and Snapchat, whatever that is. I'm not on either one of those. I'm working on it. My girls are training me, getting me ready, kind of working on a name for Instagram. It needs to be cool or something. But have you noticed that we say, oh, time flies, time flies? I'm going to tell you a secret. Time is not flying. It is doing the same thing it's been doing. And this is how I know this. I saw my grandmother, who's 90 years old, the other day, and time is not flying for her. She was just doing what she was doing, and her days seemed so long to her. Time's not flying. We just are impatient with ourselves. We say, oh, it's Monday, I can't wait for Friday. Friday comes, and you can't wait for the weekend, but then you can't remember what you did on the weekend. What is going on, people? Stop it. It is so important for us to be present, to be patient with ourselves, because only when you're patient with yourself can you be patient with other people. I'm going to tell you that, too. That's a gift you cannot give without giving it to yourself first. Yeah, people are going to get in their car, and you're going to say, oh, there's a space. And then they're going to get on their phone for a while. You're like, don't they see me? No, they don't see you because they are on Instagram. I'm telling you. They're checked out. I see people walking their dogs on their phone. What in the world? Like, be with your dog. If you're going to be with your dog, be with your dog. That's not fair to the dog. If you're on your phone and you're walking him or her, they want to be with you. They do. They love you. How many people got a pet? Yeah, they want to be with you. But we have got to learn to be patient with ourselves. We want everything now. Actually, we want it yesterday. We want it before we knew we wanted it. What is that? Patience is so important. I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson that said to take a note from nature. Sometimes I just sit in nature over at the Chattahoochee and I just watch the ducks. They just, you know, float down the river. Then they see food and they duck. You see their little bottoms go up. But they're so patient. And when I go there, my days are longer. You know? Be patient. Be patient. Seriously. And people say, oh, life is short. No, life is life. And you're making it short by selling yourself short, by being in tomorrow before it comes. Today is November 27th, 2016. Be right here. Have you ever noticed when you're right here how long it seems? You know how long a minute is when you're quiet? It's long. I will tell you, too, I remember when I was expecting, I have twin daughters, and they told me I had to be pregnant for 40 weeks. I said, that's almost a year. It's 52 weeks in a year. 40 weeks to carry a child. This is the lesson of nature. You know, wisdom comes with patience, too. But even farmers can't grow food faster because it takes time. There's seed time and there's harvest time. So let's take a note from nature, practice patience, share it with other people. Let them take all day. If they want to take all day, let them take all day. Just go do something different. But there's no need. And you know something about patience? The last thing I'll say about it is this. It's not so much about waiting as so much as it is about your attitude while you're waiting. You ever notice that? Your attitude can be really not nice when you're waiting. So let's just have a good attitude. It makes patience go a whole lot easier. What is our last gift in here? Ooh, this is a good one. The last gift is honesty. Let's give the gift of honesty this year. What do I mean by that? I know everybody sitting in here is saying, I am such an honest person. You have never met a more honest person than me. I used to say that too. But let me tell you how we cannot be honest. But before I say that, let me say this. Any time that we are dishonest with ourselves, we compromise the integrity of every relationship we have. Think about that. I said that to a client one day, and I thought, I need to write my own quote down. That was good. Sometimes I shock myself. I say, hey, I could be E.F. Hutton, or I can be whoever it is, Ralph Waldo Emerson. How about that? When we really do, when we're dishonest with ourselves, we compromise the integrity of every relationship we have. Let me tell you why. Because you're not being honest with yourself, so there's no way you can have an honest relationship with anybody. All bets are off. And this is how, because I'm telling you, we've heard of Honest Abe. I kid you not, I believe I'm an honest person. But have someone ever asked you to do something that you didn't want to do and you said yes? That was dishonest. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you were being nice, right? Wrong. You were being dishonest. And so you went, and you didn't really have a good time, and you robbed your friend of a really good time because you didn't want to be there. right? Dishonesty also shows up when we are people pleasers. Anybody out there is a people pleaser? A placator? You do things because other people want you to do them, but not because you really want to do it? I kid you not. Treat yourself and your friend or whoever it is with honesty. If you don't want to do something, say, you know what, I declined this time, but call me next time you want to do that. It's really okay. You'll feel so much better. I encourage you to be honest with yourself at all times, because that's the only way you're going to know how to and learn how to be honest with other people. Honesty is really the best policy. We heard that before, but it really is. Give somebody in your family the gift of honesty. If somebody treats you some kind of way you don't want to be treated, say to them, you know, it really hurts my feelings when you do that. I mean, you've been doing it for 50 years, but I'm going to ask you today to not do that to me. It doesn't feel good. If you're able to do that, you're open the other person up to be loving, and you also allow yourself to be more loving to yourself. Every single thing that you give to someone else, you are also giving to yourself. And that's the beauty of these gifts. You know, I would tell you that even though the world is telling you that you need to go shopping, and you can, and I know you can do it online and all these, got all these ways to do it, but I will tell you this, if you are willing to give someone that you love, people in your life, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of compassion, the gift of patience, the gift of honesty, your life will elevate your own life. You will feel so good, and they will feel good being around you. So I'm going to close on a story that I read the other day, and I thought it was appropriate for this talk. Imagine that you're walking in a field of lilies toward a distant village. And you see it nestled at the foot of the mountain, but everywhere you look, there are gold nuggets. So you're like, oh my gosh, prosperity. You start picking up the nuggets and putting them in your pockets. And so next thing you know, you're all loaded down with all these nuggets because you're feeling rich. Like, oh my gosh, I ended up in the land of gold nuggets. So you go into this village and you are feeling so good. You're like, I'm richer than I've ever imagined that I would ever be. You travel so many miles, you're hungry, and you're weighted down with all these gold nuggets. So you walk into this inn, and you go to the registration desk, and you pull out one of your nuggets, and you say, I want to get a room. Give me the best room you got, because you got this gold nugget. And the clerk looks at you, and then looks at the nugget and says, I hope you don't think you're going to pay for this room with this nugget. And the guy says, I absolutely do think I'm going to pay with this nugget. It's gold after all. So after much discussion, what the guy finds out is that this rock, this golden nugget, is considered worthless in this land because what's profitable here is sand. This is the land of sand. They need sand. Sand is how you know you're rich. And the guy says, you have got to be kidding me. This is gold. He says, no. This is the land of sand. And so in order to prosper in the land of sand, guess what he has to do? He has to change his beliefs about what he thinks is valuable. And that's what we got to do. I know you want that Gucci purse, the Louis Vuitton wallet, the whatever it is you're wanting, the Maserati, that's what I want. But at the end of the day, what's valuable, we have got to change what we think is valuable in this world. What's valuable is stuff, is something that's free. And it's the ability to love other people, to forgive other people, to be kind to other people, to be compassionate to other people. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what the name of your suit is. And I'm not saying you can't have nice things, but I'm telling you that those things don't make you valuable. It's a good idea for us to take a lesson from that story. Wasn't that a great story? We got to change what we think is valuable. What's valuable is loving somebody just because they're here. What's valuable is the ability to forgive somebody no matter what they did to you. That's what's valuable. What's valuable is expressing compassion to people, which allows you to be more loving or to be patient. To give people patience and honesty. This is what's valuable. These are the gifts that allow you to experience heaven on earth, right? That's what it is. And so with these gifts, you're able to be more loving, to enjoy more peace in your life, to live a harmonious life, to live a prosperous and an abundant life. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. I am complete. This is the truth in my life, and this is the truth in yours. And so thank you. Let us pray. Now I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath and to bring your attention to this beautiful, sacred, present moment. And as you bring your attention here, I want you to think about this, that God is the gift and the giver of the gift. And we live in a universe that supports us in offering these spiritual gifts, that when we share them with others, we also become the beneficiary of the very same gifts. We know there's only one power, one source, one divine energy in the universe, and it is love, and it is all-encompassing, and it is all of us. It is me, it is you, it is everyone that we see, and we have every opportunity to love other people, to be forgiving of others, to be compassionate with others, and to be patient with others. And to be honest. And when we are these things, we are spirit in motion. And when we give these precious gifts, we become the recipient of these gifts. Reciprocity is always available and accessible to us in this way. We are so grateful in this moment for every opportunity to enjoy our lives. And what allows us to enjoy our lives is the ability to be able to tune in and tap in to who we are, to our nature. It is our nature to be giving. It is our nature to be loving. It is our nature to care about other people. And today, we are open to this expression. And the more open we become to this expression, it opens us to be able to be the recipients of the same. With gratitude for this knowing, I now release my words into the unfailing law, the law of good, the law of unity, and the law of love. And I let it be my experience today and every day. This is the truth in my life, and this is the truth in yours. And together we agree and say, and so it is.